on. Let's lift up the name of Jesus Christ. There is none other in heaven or on earth. Welcome to another episode of Hope in Christ with Denise, here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast, where we place our hope in the only hope there is, Christ our Lord.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. I am your host, Minister Denise, and I welcome you back to today's show. Today we have an awesome, awesome, awesome woman of God that is going to share her business and share the things that God is using her to do. Before we bring on our guest, I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, O God, for this time. We thank you for another opportunity to share, Lord. We ask, oh God, that those that are in need, that you would touch them, you would keep them, you would heal them wherever they need. They are in need of healing, God. We thank you, oh God, for your provision, for all that you are, all that you have always been, and all that you will ever be in our lives, God. We give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, thank you all for tuning in to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. Again, I'm your host, Minister Denise Walker, and I thank you for joining us. Remember, at Hope in Christ, we are healthy overcomers, purpose, and we maintain an eternal perspective as we seek our true identity in Christ. And so without further ado, I'm going to bring on my guest, Angela Anderson, and she's going to introduce herself to the audience.
Hello, Denise. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity to hang out with you today. I am very grateful and definitely do not take this lightly. For those of you who do not know me, I am Angela Anderson of Angela Anderson Presents, and I am all things literary, from literary marketing to book editing to PR to social media brand strategist, things of that nature. In addition to, I have two literary shows that fall up under my literary cafe. I am an avid reader as well. I often try to tell people something fun about me, which I definitely say books, shoes, and fruit snacks. Are the three things that are my favorite. And I've added on recently hats. I am so fascinated with these cool-looking hats that I have actually been rocking them lately as well. But I feel that it's a blessing to be able to empower authors and readers and to bridge that gap and bring them together, whether it's through the Literary Cafe shows or whether it's through helping the authors with marketing their books, whether it's editing the author's book or what have you. I feel that that is my form of ministering to others in that creative space. So that's a little bit about Angela Anderson Presents, also with the umbrella of Angela's Literary Cafe.
Wow, wow, wow. So it sounds like you're doing a lot. Thank you, Angela. So how long have you been providing this service? And a little more, can you share a little more details with us about the specific services? Are there packages or what are your services and how do you provide them?
Absolutely, absolutely. I have been doing this for a little over 5 years as far as the business is concerned, Angela Anderson Presents, but I've been in the literary world for a long time. I've been an avid reader for a long time, and it started with me just doing the editing side of it, and I got into that because I've always, you know, as I said before, I've always been an avid reader. I was that child in elementary school that I loved Library Day. I mean, to this day, I still get excited about the library or bookstores and things of that nature. I am a total book nerd. And so with having that passion and things of that nature, English has always been one of my favorite subjects and things of that nature, too. And I just kind of like combined the two. I started off beta reading for authors, and then it kind of progressed into the editing side of it. And so with that, I do have packages that I offer individuals. They can definitely go to my website and find those packages. I have individual packages where they can, you know, look at those particular packages, and sometimes they can pull items from those if they don't need everything. I do developmental editing. I do line editing. I do final proofreading as well for that. And I also do literary coaching. Sometimes you may have authors that they need help along the way of getting through that process of writing their book and marketing their book and, getting their book, edited and all of that good stuff. So I provide those services as well. And the shows that I have, the Literary Cafe and the Literary Tea, I've always been an event planner. And so one of the things I like about Angela Anderson Presents is that I'm kind of able to take like all of my skills that God have blessed me with, and I am able to allow them to shine in a creative space through Angela Anderson Presents. So I'm definitely grateful for that. And so with the Literary Cafe, pre-COVID or what have you, I actually had literary events that was live and in person. And so when the pandemic hit, the Lord literally spoke to me, and he was like, well, why can't you do it virtually? He was like, why can't you have Angela's Literary Tea? And I was like, well, because even during that time, there was a time that, people, even though they weren't able to go out and most of the states was on lockdown, it was like authors were still writing books and book lovers were still reading books and we was loving books. And a lot of it was, we were doing it even more. But what was lacking was that authors and readers weren't able to physically be together to have their launch parties or to have book club meetings and things of that nature. And so that's when the Angela's Literary Tea, the virtual one, was birthed or what have you. And that's an hour-long show where myself, the actual author that is featured, and then we will have guest bloggers or guest readers or book reviewers, we will actually go live and talk about whatever the featured book is for an hour over tea. We'll wear our favorite literary T-shirt as well as drink out of one of our favorite literary mugs, and we have a ball. And then Angela's Literary Cafe is a way for authors to shine. So if they have a new release or what have you, they can join me at the cafe, and they'll have a 30-minute interview session that's live, and they will talk about the release of their new book. In addition to talking about the release of their new book, we will also talk about, I will ask them general author questions or general things about them in a fun and upbeat way. The guests can chime in from the audience and ask questions as well. We generally have a giveaway. And so, again, all of those themes fall up under Angela Anderson Presents, and I'm able to kind of do that now even in the midst of, a pandemic. I was able to be able to shift and to take that virtually.
Amen. That sounds awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, I hear a lot, and I see you doing a lot of marketing as well. So I just had a question for you. First, it's two parts. So the first part of the question is, can you tell the new author, the person that's listening, that's like, maybe I could do this, just a little bit of this. Why is marketing so important?
Oh, wow. That's a good question, and I'm so glad that you asked that question. Yes, marketing is very important because if a person does not know about your book, then how can they buy it? And I know that seems simple, but if they don't know about it, how can they buy it or how can they support you or what have you? And I tell people all the time that, especially if you are a new author, and even if you are an author that's been around for a long time, everybody can't pull a Beyonce. Like, everybody can't just throw a book out there or, release a book and, tell people about it in 2 days and then, it just blows up or what have you. It takes time or what have you. And I often tell people that the earliest that you can, that you can start marketing the book, the better. You've seen some authors that they may do like soft pushes like a year out. They may do soft pushes like 6 months out or what have you before that book is getting ready to be released. Because again, you want to create buzz about that book, and not only just in the book world. I mean, think about if you sell a product or if you are, doing other things, you want to make sure that you are marketing in a way that people know about it and you are creating buzz about it, because you guys as authors, you have, you've spent a lot of your time and you've put in your heart into it and things of that nature to produce these books. And so, you know, I'm sure that you guys don't want them just sitting on the shelves or sitting in your garage or even if they are in bookstores, just sitting there and they're not moving. So that is why I feel that marketing is important, so you can kind of get that exposure of the book and let people be known. And the thing about it, too, with marketing is sometimes that it doesn't have to be done, you know, alone or what have you. If you do have people that know about your book, i.e., people that may be a part of your street team or people that may follow you and things of that nature, they'll help you, you know, to get the word out about your book. So I feel that marketing is very key as well. And I hope that I answered your question. It was a long answer.
Yes, it was perfect. And so the second part of that question is just a couple of simple tips for authors, because I know as an author myself, marketing is like a headache sometimes. So just a couple simple marketing tips that you could tell the audience.
Okay. Well, the first one that I will say, and if anybody that is listening, if they know anything about me, they probably know what I'm going to say right now at this moment before I say it, is relationships. So before you even get into that marketing, the authors definitely need to make sure that they are building their brand, building their website, their social media, their newsletter, and their things of that nature, that they are building quality relationships with their followers and things of that nature. Because if people feel like that they've built some type of relationship with you or that they know you in some way, I mean, they may don't know you personally, but if they feel like there's some type of connection and that, you know, that you are personable and things of that nature, then when you start marketing your book, it will not seem so salesy, if that makes sense. Or it won't seem like, okay, I follow this person, but every time I go to their page, it's buy my book, buy my book, buy my book. Versus if I go to their page and their page is interacting with me or interacting with the group, or I see them on other authors' pages or I see them around and they're engaging, in addition to whenever they have a book launch, they're asking to buy my book, then it doesn't seem so salesy and the sale is like second nature. So that's the first thing that I would say, is definitely make sure that you are building quality relationships. Again, whether that's on your social media, if that's through your newsletter, if that's on your website, all of that good stuff to do that. The second thing that I would say I try to tell individuals is to create a marketing budget. Even if you are traditionally published or what have you, you want to create some type of marketing budget on your own. So in addition to what the publishing company may be doing, you're also doing some marketing on yourself. Of course, if you are an indie author or what have you, you definitely want to make sure that you create a marketing budget as well. The third thing that I would say is definitely to plan it out. I like to use marketing campaigns. And so with those marketing campaigns, you can also break those up into sub-campaigns. So the first part of your marketing campaign can be the pre-sales, the pre-orders, if that makes sense. So that could be one campaign. And then your next campaign that you could do could actually be like release week or what have you. What does that marketing campaign look like? And then the third campaign is actually your post-release campaign. So I feel like if you put those three campaigns into place, if you budget for those as well, you are giving that book a well-rounded marketing chance when it comes to getting it out there and getting it in front of the people.
Absolutely, absolutely. It is very, very vital for those that are listening. So if you are tuning in to Angela Anderson, when you listen to the replay, please reach out to Angela. Please reach out to Angela, because marketing is so important. And so the second part of what you service is editing. And I know editing is another hat that authors pull their hair out. And so can you tell us and tell the audience, why is editing so important?
I am so glad that you asked that question and that you brought that up. Editing is extremely important to an author. And I know sometimes individuals that they may cut corners. And I can tell you, you know, not just because I'm an editor, but I my plea would be to any author, if you are putting your budget together, do not skim on your editing. But two of the most expensive things in your book publication process is the editing, and especially if you're an indie author, it will be your editing as well as your marketing. And with the editing part, you definitely do not want to skim on that. I think about it like this. If you want individuals to spend their coins on your book, you should also take the time to invest in yourself and invest in having that book properly edited before it goes to the public. One is when you release a book, not only is your name on that book, but that book is representing you, and you want to make sure that you are putting the best form of yourself out there to the people. Your work, have pride in your work, and you want to make sure that you're putting the best copy out there in excellence. I like to say that one of my motto for Angela Anderson Presents is where excellence and relationships are at the forefront. So you want to make sure that you are protecting your name, your brand, your book, your work, and you're putting that out there in excellence. Nobody wants to read a book that was poorly edited. I have lots of reader friends, and I have some that, you know, they can get a book, and if it's poorly edited, they won't even finish the book. Let alone, you know, they got to, you know, some of them may write a review, they may address that part, but then people talk, people tell other people as well. So you don't want that to affect your name, that your book was not properly edited as well. So I would definitely suggest that you spend those dollars or that you budget it to have your book edited. I would not go out there, you know, with your pants down, for lack of a better term to use, because you chose not to have your book edited. And in addition to editing, I would also, you know, do your research. If you are an indie author or what have you, do your research on these editors as well, and make sure that the editor that you have selected to work with, that you meet with this editor. You can even ask that editor for a sample, things of that nature too, and know the different types of editing as well. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that you should also know that, you know, you may need a developmental editor, or you may need a copy editor, or you may need, you know, you may need somebody to just, you know, proofread the final copy or what have you. And also, if I may add that in there, a beta reader is not necessarily an editor. You do have some editors that do both, like myself. I do beta read for individuals, and I also do edit. They are two very different things. So just because you have a beta reader to read your work or what have you, that is not a complete edit of your book. Also, sometimes people, you may hear them say, hey, well, my cousin is an English teacher, or my cousin is that is totally different, you know, than a literary editor or a book editor. So that's some of the things that I would tell individuals as far as edits, and they're kind of like little snippets or what have you. I actually do have a course. It's called Editing 101, and so it's definitely geared towards those individuals that may be self-publishing their books, and it kind of tells them about the editing hacks, kind of from, you know, A to Z, things to look for, you know, in finding an editor, the reasons that you need, you know, your book to be edited and things of that nature. I even go in a little bit about self-editing and then how to find an editor. So that's a course that I actually teach. I can teach it on a one-on-one basis as well as in a group setting.
Mm-hmm. Awesome information. And I know you talked about the different types of editing you do, but do you do nonfiction and fiction editing?
Yes, I'm so glad that you asked that question. I actually do. I do nonfiction projects and as well as fiction projects as well. Generally, if someone reaches out to me looking to see if I'm able to work on an editing project for them, I will schedule a consultation with them to make sure that, you know, that we're the right fit for each other, because I have no problem telling individuals that, you know, I may not be the editor for you, and that's okay, or what have you. But yes, I actually do nonfiction and fiction projects. I also do smaller projects like editing content for social media or editing blogs, editing content for websites, as well as actual, you know, manuscripts.
That is awesome to know. And for the audience that's listening, I'm a witness that editing is, I can just say, a beast. And so you have to have somebody who is editing for you. Sometimes we think our work is amazing, but you have somebody who has specialized in that, and they know what to look for. They know, you know, just in a story, where the story drops how to improve. So you need an editor. So, Angela, thank you. Thank you for that service.
You're welcome. And, Denise, you are so right about that, because sometimes when I think about the editing process, think about you guys as authors. You're so close to the story. Like, you've read it, you know, like 50 million times. You wrote it, actually. So some things, after a while, it can just look like right to you guys. Or it can feel right to you guys because it's your book baby, or what have you. But when an editor takes a look at it, they are, you know, they're looking at it with a fresh set of eyes. And then not only that, is, you know, they're at first they're not as close to the story as you are, because, you know, they're taking a first look at it versus you, when you've kind of labored over it and things of that nature too. So I definitely agree with you as well about the editors having, you know, a whole another insight to pour into your work with you. And I tell people all the time too, to think of editors are not the enemies. Editors are actually your friend. Believe it or not, a good editor, we actually want what's best for you and what's best for your book, and we want to see your book win. We want to see your book sell, and we also want to make sure that the best form of you and your book is put out to the world. So I tell people to think of the editors as their friend, not the enemy.
Absolutely, absolutely, because they have your best interest at heart. So that is
absolutely, yes.
And I know you mentioned beta reading, and a lot of times people don't know about beta reading. So can you tell the audience a little bit more about beta reading? Is it a price for it? Tell a little bit more about that.
Yes. Now, there are some beta readers that get paid to beta read, so it depends on who you are beta reading for or what have you. But a beta reader is an individual, and I like to use the word a trusted individual, because, again, you are providing your beta reader with a version of your manuscript before it hits the market. And so sometimes it could be that you have gone through a couple of drafts or what have you, or you are in the midst of revisions of it, and you send it out to that trusted individual. Now, this is Angela's thought, but again, some authors may do something different. It's also a small group of individuals, so I wouldn't send it out to like 10 people. I just wouldn't. But again, like I said, that's Angela. You know, somebody else, they may think otherwise. But most of the times when authors use a beta reader, sometimes they may find like 3 trusted readers or what have you. And these are individuals that, like I said, they're trusted. So sometimes they may be individuals that is familiar with your work, that they, you know, they're super fans, they trust in your work, all of that good stuff, but they're going to also be honest with you. And so a lot of times they are not necessarily doing like the editing part of it, but it's more of the content. Like, you know, is the story flowing? Is it falling flat? Was there a particular area in the book that, you know, it just didn't grab your attention? Or sometimes the author may have specific things that they're looking for in, for that. And then if that is the case, when they send it to the beta reader, they will list out that to say, hey, can you, you know, can you make sure that the conflict that was created between the hero and the heroine, you know, if it makes sense? Or they may say, you know, in writing chapter 5, you know, I kind of felt blah, blah, blah. Did you get that same feeling? Or they may say something like, you know, this is where I want the reader to go, or this is what I want the reader to get out of it. Did you get that feeling when you read this page? So some authors will actually give you specific things to look for in addition to your overall feedback. And all in all, when they get it back, that, you know, when they're making their revisions and things of that nature, they will take the information that the beta reader or beta readers into consideration. Sometimes they may add or take away or things of that nature too, but it's also just another set of trusted eyes to look at that concept. That's why I said that you want it to be trusted individuals, because this is your book baby. Also, again, you know, sometimes too many opinions is, you know, so that's why I said I would kind of keep it as three, but that's just me to kind of help you with your story. So for the author, the story is the meats and the potatoes. Everything is already there. It may have already gone through a revision or two or what have you, but this is like, you know, they're just trying to make sure, or if there were some things they had questions about as well. Does that make sense about a beta reader?
Yes, absolutely. And I agree with keeping it small as well, because you do have to trust those people with your book baby. So I agree as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had other authors be my beta readers. So those people that, like you mm-hmm. said, are with your work, and they're going to tell you the truth. Because sometimes you're...
Right, exactly.
If you ask a family member, they might tell you what you want to hear. But...
Mm-hmm.
Tell you the truth.
I definitely agree with that.
And so I just have a couple more questions. One question is, what is your favorite part of your business? I know all of it is, but if you can pick one thing, what would you say is your favorite?
Oh, my goodness. If I could pick one, you know, my mind, the creative mind was like, okay, how can I turn this one and add, you know, and add some things to make it like one big thing? Oh, my goodness. I guess the safest way to answer this question, since I can only do one, would be being able to be a service to others, if that makes sense, because I am a servant leader. I love helping people. I love being able to bless others with my gift or what have you. And so in this capacity with Angela Anderson Presents as a whole, I love that servitude side of it. And so being able to share my gifts, being an editor, or share my gifts, you know, being a host or a speaker, or being able to share my gifts to be able to host literary shows, bringing authors and readers together, that is so fulfilling for me, if that makes sense. And also in that servitude part of it, being able to teach. I love that literary coaching side of it, or I love teaching the workshops, whether it's, you know, marketing workshops or social media workshops, or if it's the workshop that I teach about how to build a street team or how to build your ARC team, if it's, you know, providing that service of the marketing blitz. So I guess, like, when I say all of those things, it all falls back to service. Does that make sense?
Yes, 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 yes. And I can see that. I can see that. Always serving others, and always smiling, too. So, yes, I agree. So is there anything else that you would like to say to encourage the audience?
Definitely to, you know, if God places something in your heart to do, definitely, you know, do it, act on it. And sometimes that's not to say that, you know, that fear won't come. And I know, you know, it may sound cliche when I say it, but do it scared. Do it afraid if you have to. The word tells us that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And so sometimes, you know, when you are stepping out on faith and things of that nature, or you are doing what it is that God called you to do, or walking in your gift, or walking in your ministry, sometimes there may be some uncomfortable moments, or there may be some things that you're not used to doing, or may not feel comfortable with doing. But if God gave it to you, He's going to definitely give you the means and the ways, or even bring people into your life to make it come to pass. So whether it's to, you know, if He's been telling you to write the book, whether it's a fiction book or a nonfiction book or what have you, if He's telling you to write the book, if He's telling you to start a podcast, if He's telling you to, you know, do whatever it is that He's telling you to do, I look at that. We all have different gifts, and we all have different forms of the ministry that we walk in, if that makes sense, that everything may not, let me say it this way, we are all ministers of the gospel, but the way that we get the gospel out may be different, and it may not necessarily be standing behind a pulpit. So if my ministry in the gospel is through hosting Angela's Literary Tea or hosting Angela's Literary Cafe, or a part of my ministry is helping these authors to promote their books, or helping these authors to, you know, to get their work out there, or providing excellent editing services and things of that nature, then that's my ministry and my gift that God has given to me. So I would definitely say that whatever it is that God has placed into your heart, or whatever gift that He's blessed you to walk into it with all of your heart, mind, body, and soul.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And I agree. Do it afraid. Don't try to run away like I did. Do it afraid. And so thank you for sharing, Angela. And how can people connect with you, reach out to you, so that they can receive some of your services?
Absolutely. They can actually follow me on social media. I am on Facebook. I have Angela Anderson. That is my personal page. So if you just want to, you know, hang out with me on a personal level, you'll see pictures of, you know, of my family, all that good stuff. And then I have Angela Anderson Presents, which is my business page. And then I'm on Instagram. Angela Anderson Presents is on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn as well. I'm not on there as much, but I do have a LinkedIn account. And of course, they can go to my website, which is www.angelaandersonpresents.com. And Denise, if I may, you know I have to share, of course, every Friday at 6 p.m. on the Sisters of Faith page on Facebook. We also have a YouTube channel, but me and the Fun Friday crew, which is Vanessa Riley and Pat Simmons, we have a weekly Friday show that is unscripted, fun, or what have you, bring in light and fun to individuals to get their weekend started, is where they can find me as well.
Yes, and please check them out. I know I've been missing it sometimes, but it is so uplifting. So, yes, thank you, Angela, for your service and what you're doing for the body of Christ and for God. So, again, thank you for coming on. I'm going to pray us out.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for Angela. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing in her and through her. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless her ministry, bless her business. Lord, we just thank you for all who are listening, God, that if somebody needs that service, that they would believe in themselves and that they would go forth in what you have called them to do. Lord, we just thank you for, again, for Angela and others who are providing and serving you through serving others. So we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And again, thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. Have a phenomenal rest of your week.